Thanks for tuning in to the Read Together podcast this week. We enjoy offering a new perspective to our readers, and we're working to make sure you hear from many different perspectives. Our prayer is that hearing a word on the word that's not your usual word is enriching your Bible reading. Let us hear from you. Reverend Ben James believes that the elements of popular epic fantasy stories can also be found in the story of Jesus Christ, which is an epic story, but not a fantasy.
Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and will be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I am a huge fan of epic fantasy. If you look at my bookshelves, you'll find the works of J.R.R. Tolkien, Patrick Rothfuss, and Brandon Sanderson, just to name a few. A while back, I managed to find all 14 books in Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time series, and I'm making my way through them right now. I'm currently on book 4. Fantasy is filled with all sorts of tropes that have become synonymous with the genre. For example, it won't take you long to find a story in which the main character learns that they are their world's prophesied hero. They're the one that's been chosen to rise up and lead the forces of good against an overwhelming and seemingly unstoppable evil. These heroes often have companions who surround them and support them in their journey. The beginnings of these stories often give us the impression that something incredible, something world-changing, is either happening or about to happen. The journey of the hero is filled with ups and downs, victories and defeats, until we finally reach the conclusion where we see the powers of good and evil, the hero and the villain, face off in an earth-shaking final battle. It's not uncommon in these stories either to see the hero make the ultimate sacrifice in order to ensure that the powers of evil are truly defeated and that peace will reign forever. For Christians, everything I've just described should sound familiar, because all these common elements of epic fantasy can be found in the story of Jesus Christ. Now you might be asking yourself, "Ben, are you saying that the story of Jesus is epic fantasy?" Well, fantasy, no. But epic? Yes. Oh yes. I submit to you that Jesus is the ultimate epic hero. Think about it. We have enough evidence of that in the days of Christmas and Easter. If you look at everything that happened on and around those 2 days, you'll see why I say this. Let's look first at Advent and Christmas. Jesus' birth is prophesied long before he is born. An angel appears to his mother, an ordinary Jewish girl with no wealth or influence in society, and tells her that she will be the one to bring God's own son into the world. And on the night when he is born, choirs of angels appear in the sky overlooking a group of shepherds and declare to them that in the city of David, a Savior has been born. These shepherds then waste no time in locating this newborn Savior. They aren't the only ones, though. Wise men from the east, also called magi, see a shining star in the sky, and they follow it to where Jesus is to bring him gifts. Now, if that's not the makings of an epic hero, I don't know what is. But, as these stories often go, the forces of evil waste no time in trying to stamp out our young hero. Upon learning from the Magi about the birth of this prophesied king, King Herod tells them to let him know where the child is once they find him, because he too would like to worship the child. In reality, Herod feels threatened by this child of prophecy and wants him dead. Upon realizing that the Magi have gone home a different way and aren't coming back, Herod becomes furious and gives a command that all boys under the age of 2 are to be murdered. Jesus and his parents are forced to flee to Egypt until Herod finally dies. Only then can they return. Let's fast forward now to the climax of this story, Easter. This is the event that everything Jesus has said and done during his time on earth has been leading to. We see that Jesus has come back to Jerusalem, despite knowing that there are powerful people who are looking for any and every opportunity to get rid of him. Jesus displays tremendous courage, one of the key traits of any great hero. In one of the most memorable moments of the story, Jesus sits down for one final meal with his disciples. This is the last time he'll get to speak with all of them before the climax of the story. During this meal, he reveals to them that one of them will betray him. Epic heroes are no strangers to betrayal, and Jesus is no different. It is Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 that Jesus himself picked, who sells him out to his enemies for 30 pieces of silver. Later that same night, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he is praying, the Roman guards come and arrest Jesus. What follows is a horrifying example of injustice and abuse of power, as Jesus is railroaded through court and ultimately sentenced to hang on a cross until he is dead. But Jesus is the hero, right? This might normally be the point where it looks like all hope is lost and the villains are about to win. But then something happens that turns things around for the hero and allows them to make a comeback and defeat their enemies and save the day. That's what we might think would happen, but that's not what happens. That dramatic rescue never comes. Jesus is led up to Golgotha, a name that means the place of the skull. And it's there that he's crucified and he dies. But how can this be? How can the hero of the story die in such a horrible way? What sort of tale is this where the powers of evil triumph and we're left with the body of an innocent man hanging on one of the most terrifying instruments of death humanity has ever created? It would be a story almost too dark and depressing to tell if this was the end of the story. But you see, epic heroes are epic for a reason. They do things that the rest of us don't do. They succeed where so many others have failed in the past. They give hope, even when it seems like there's none left to be found. Jesus is dead. His body is taken off the cross and rushed into a tomb and sealed within by a heavy stone. By all appearances, it's over. Those who wanted him dead and gone have succeeded, and they won't be troubled by him or his followers anymore. Or so they think. If the Marvel Cinematic Universe has taught us anything, it's that you never leave the theater until after the credits have rolled. Sunday morning comes, and 3 women make their way to the tomb early that morning with the intention of anointing Jesus' body. What they find when they get there, though, is not at all what they expected. The stone that sat over the entrance has been rolled away, and inside the tomb is a man dressed in solid white who tells them, "He is risen. He is not here." As Christians, we have the greatest of all stories to tell, and at the center of it is without question the greatest of all epic heroes. Jesus' birth was foretold long before it actually happened, and when it did happen, it shook the world. Jesus led his disciples, his companions, in a struggle against the powers of darkness, and it came to its conclusion with him being put on trial for crimes he did not commit. Yet, the entire time, Jesus displayed tremendous courage and faith. Faith in the path that his Father had laid out for him. The final battle that Jesus faced wasn't one fought with swords or lightsabers, but with the willingness to go and face the shame and the pain of the cross. It's there at the end, when all hope seems lost and the story's looking more like a horror movie than the story of a hero, that Jesus pulls the greatest plot twist of all time. He rises from the grave, just as he said he would, victorious over both sin and death, so that everyone who trusts in him will be saved. So you see, truly epic heroes aren't only found in the pages of novels. We, the people of God, have a very real story to tell about a very real hero who sacrificed everything to defeat the powers of evil and bring salvation to the entire world. We honor his sacrifice by placing our faith for salvation in him and dedicating our lives to telling his story.
God, we thank you for this day, which you have made for us to enjoy. We pray now that you will be glorified in our work as well as our play today. In a world filled with distractions, despair, and daunting tasks, we pray that you will give us the same tenacity that your Son, Jesus Christ, displayed during his journey here on earth. We pray for your strength as well as your peace. As our own personal sagas unfold, we ask that you will always lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit, even when we face injustices that cause us to shrink away in pain. Help us to never be afraid to tell our own story and to testify of the marvelous works of our own superhero, Jesus the Christ. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.